Danny, ever had a bad vacation?
You know, I don't know if I've ever I blocked them out, but I can't recall one that was particularly bad or that we had a lot of problems with.
Any terms, anything like in terms of like flights being delayed or any of that kind of stuff?
No, you know, I haven't flown that much since I was a kid. So, you know, maybe once every 2 years and
yeah.
No issues there. I do have a road trip food for you, though.
Oh, all right.
So Eileen and I and our friends Teddy and Melanie made a road trip to Mackinac Island for a wedding. And on the way home, we stopped at a gas station and we found this bag of Uncle Ray's potato chips. Uncle Ray's potato chips. So not only do you get the fine Uncle Ray's potato chips, but you get a nice anecdote on the back from Ray's life. And it was just fascinating because, like, one of them was about how he was a Navy lieutenant and he forgot his shoes or something. And luckily somebody found him, and it's about the value of teamwork. And
it's a different one on each bag?
A different one on each bag. There was another one about, like, a lost couch under an orange tree or something. And, like, it was stupendous.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, obviously after being on the road for – something like
you were a little
18
you were a little
hours
punchy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it became like I literally anytime I'm outside of Illinois, I look for Uncle Ray's potato chips at whatever gas station we stop at. And you know, we spent a lot of time together that summer because we were also part of a bar trivia team that met every Tuesday. And so, like, you know, every once in a while, you know, there would be a you know, a special enlightening moment or something, lesson learned, and we'd be like, I wonder if Uncle Ray.
Uncle Ray's potato
yes.
chips. All right. For those people on the road, get Uncle Ray's potato chips. You get a lovely little anecdote as well. Hey, by the way, have you guys, you were growing up, did you guys eat Cracker Jack? You ever have boxes of Cracker Jack when you were growing up?
Sure.
Esmeralda, did you
yeah.
ever? All right. My dad likes to sneak in food. My parents sneak in food to the movies all the time, their own candy and stuff, because they don't want to pay $53 for a bag of Skittles. So they bring in they bring in their own food and stuff. Not food, you know, like they don't come in with a fried chicken or anything. They just have like candy and, you know, little snacks with them. So my dad had Cracker Jack. He had a box of Cracker Jack Saturday at Dunkirk. Okay, and he have you seen what a box of Cracker Jack looks like now?
No.
Mm-mm.
How small it is. Like I said, this is now the standard size of Cracker Jack. My dad's like, look at the size of this thing. He was so angry. And the standard size of Cracker Jack is like, you get like an ounce. It's just, it's ridiculous. It's so much smaller than it used to be when we were growing up. And I was like, well, do you at least get a prize? He's like, yeah. So he opens up the box, which again is like, it's got like four kernels in it and a couple of nuts. It's really small. He goes and he gets the prize out, and he opens it up, and it looks like it's just a teeny little thing. And he opens it up, and you, in order for it to work, you have to download an app for the little toy that's in the Cracker Jack. You peel it open, it looks like a tattoo. It looked like one of those, you know, you temporary tattoos that you put water on the back of it. That's what it looked like. It was like a little image, and it gave you instructions on how you had to download an app for the complete experience. What has happened to what happened to Cracker Jack? You used to get kind of fun little toys inside the Cracker Jack. Now you have to have an app, and it's some stupid, and it's teeny, and there's like 1 ounce of Cracker. My dad was done with the box of Cracker Jack in 14 seconds, and I'm like, that's it? And I'm like, that's got to be what? Is that like a smaller version? He's like, no. This is the standard size of Cracker Jack now. Ridiculous. So when you're on the road, don't get Cracker Jack. It will not fill you up unless you buy a half a case. And you make sure you download that app so you can enjoy the free toy inside the box of Cracker Jacks. So, Esmeralda, you ever have any nightmare vacations, any bad things? Well, you're just in Mexico
really.
And the cops pulled you over.
Oh, right.
And you had to get some money, pay them off.
Yeah, we had to pay the fee, quote unquote, the ticket.
Right.
Because they don't accept mail like if you sent it in the mail
right.
or anything.
Right. And it was funny because I love that story you told when you got back from Mexico a couple of months ago, because you told the story and somebody in the car did say, hey, wouldn't it be hilarious if we got pulled over?
Yeah, I said it.
Oh, you said it.
I had said it.
Oh. Then what was it with the other guy? Oh, the other guy was complaining, right?
Yeah, he was complaining right. that he got pulled over even though he was only going like five over or something. Right. And right. it's like, you still were going over.
But other than that, it was a great trip.
Yeah, no, other than that, there was no problems.
You ever done a road trip with the family?
No, I mean, other than that, the big road trip that we did when I was a baby to Mexico and Guatemala and California.
But you were a baby.
But I was a baby. I don't remember. Mm-hmm. My mom does say that I think I burnt my hand on that trip on a stove, on a hot plate.
Oh, no.
Because my mom told my dad to watch me, and he did not. And I guess I decided to just slap my hand right on the hot plate because they were heating up my bottle or something.
There's got to be stories about that where the father is alone watching the kids.
Yeah.
It happened to my dad, too. My mom went somewhere, and my dad had to keep an eye on me, and I fell over and busted my head on the corner of a coffee table. You know what I mean? And that's when it's going to happen. Dan Knockwood, has Eileen ever left you alone with the kids?
I have been left alone, and thankfully nothing too crazy has happened yet.
Yeah.
But I'm sure it will. Yeah.
No, but my dad, I remember, I don't remember it, but I vaguely remember it, but I remember... You know, the stories afterwards, you know, about how I cracked my head open on a coffee table while it was just me and my dad. So that's always going to happen. All right, we got to take a break. We're talking about bad road trips, nightmare vacations, things that happen to you. I have a whole bunch of vacation horror stories from online that we can share, and I'd love to hear from you. 312-981-7200. And, of course, we will be playing pop-up video a little bit later on the show. Yeah. Oh, wow. Wildcard Wednesday. Any song, any artist, anything. 312 requested Billy Thorpe, Children of the Sun. What the hell is that? You ever hear of that, Dan?
Never heard it.
Billy Thorpe, Children of the Sun. Esmeralda, you got a lot of Billy Thorpe CDs?
No, unfortunately not.
Wow. Okay. It's Wildcard Wednesday. That means anything. 312-981-7200 for your request. And also 312-981-7200 for your stories about bad road trips or lousy vacations. But first, let's talk about a guide to ideal road trip fast food meals. This is from the Chicago Tribune. When you're hungry on a road trip, you want something that's fast, convenient, and car-friendly. After putting in hours and hours of highway miles under your tires, you're ready and willing to throw all of your dietary caution to the wind and indulge guilt-free in a little fast food. So we've put together a guide highlighting the ideal road trip meal from 10 popular fast food chains, and you're welcome. All right, Taco Bell. Crunchwrap Supreme Combo, $5.69. The Crunchwrap Supreme is packed with meat, cheese, lettuce, tomatoes, and a crunchy tostada shell. We'll take two. Included in the combo is a drink and a crunchy taco, which isn't so road trip friendly because rogue lettuce and that stuff gets everywhere. All right. McDonald's, the McDouble for $1.39 and medium fries for $1.79. What, I mean, the fries are more expensive than a burger? What? If you're the one driving, we recommend snagging a McDouble. No lettuce and delicious off the McValue menu. You get a burger stacked with two beef patties, cheese, pickles, onions, ketchup, and mustard. It's truly the best bang for your buck. And rather than hold your French fries between your legs, also known as grease stains for days, toss them in the cup holder next to you. Oh, that's a good tip. The McDouble. I used to get the McDouble when there was a McDonald's across the street here in the Wrigley building area facade thing. I used to get the McDouble because it was cheap. It was on the dollar menu, if I remember correctly, wasn't it, at one point? The McDouble? Wendy's, get the 10-piece chicken nugget combo for $5.99. if you can somehow recruit a passenger to hold your honey mustard. Hey, would you hold my honey mustard? Chicken nuggets are a very road trip friendly food. No real mess. Bite-sized bits of crispy, delicious chicken. And the only real thing that you have to worry about is getting it on you or the seat is the dipping sauce. So the chance of a drip is 50-50. Those aren't horrible odds. All right, Burger King, they picked the sausage, egg, and cheese croissant sandwich meal for $4.79. So they're assuming that you're going to pass a Burger King in the morning, I guess. That's the assumption here. The grab-and-go breakfast sandwich is the perfect way to fuel up for a long day of driving. The soft, buttery croissant is piled high with sausage, egg, and melted American cheese, a delightful way to start the day. The meal also includes hash browns and a small coffee. We'd suggest swapping out the very spillable, scalding hot beverage for maybe an orange juice. Yeah. Well, people drink coffee while they drive all the time. That's why they've got those lids. The lids that you can don't even have to worry about it. Would they get the lid with the hole in it? Isn't that? I mean, people don't spill coffee anymore, do they? You got the little safety lid. Culver's. Go for the cheddar butter burger with bacon. The single is $3.59. The double is $5.29. The triple is $6.79. This Midwestern fast food joint's trademark fare is the butter burger, so we see it as a when in Rome type deal. Order up this crispy roll topped with a beef patty or three, Wisconsin cheddar and crispy bacon, dressed however you like it. Big or go big or go home or keep driving. You're on a road trip. I like Culver's. How can you not, Esmeralda, how can you not like something called a butter burger?
That sounds good.
Have you ever had?
No, I
haven't. Oh, Esmeralda. Dan, you've had a butter burger, right?
I have.
Oh, they're good.
I'm not a butter guy, so.
Oh, I would put butter on everything. I'd put butter on butter to enjoy more butter. I just realized that I should probably live in Wisconsin, considering my absolute adoration for dairy products. Seriously, it's ridiculous. I like dairy products very much. Yeah, butter burgers are good, Esmeralda, if you get a chance. I haven't had Culver's in years. Years. The last time I had Culver's was when I went on the road trip with a group of GN listeners to St. Louis to see the Hawks play, and that was at the end of 2013. It was December of 2013. That's the last time I ever had a butter burger because on the road trip home, we stopped off to get some food, and there were like three or four fast food places, and a bunch of us walked over to the Culver's. Get the cheese curds too, Esmeralda. If you go to Culver's, get a butter burger, double butter burger, and the cheese curds.
Got it.
Oh my God! All right, we have to break because I'm going to Culver's right now. I'll see you guys. I'll see you guys later. I'm going to walk to the nearest Culver's, which is about probably 70 miles away. Okay, we'll take a break. We got the news coming up after this.
I say things to hurt you.
Yeah.
You just don't love me no more.
Oh, boy. Wild Card Wednesday, everybody. Wild Card Wednesday. Any artist, any song, anything. 312-981-7200. That's Marlene wanted to hear Billy Vera and the Beaters.
Have you heard that song, Nick?
At this moment. Have I heard it?
Okay, I mean,
yeah, I lived through the 80s. I heard it.
Yeah, it was huge when it came out.
Wasn't it on like Family Ties or something?
That I don't know.
Wasn't it on Family Ties? Here's the deal. I think the dude was on, Billy Vera and his Beaters were on the Family Ties. That's the Michael Keaton, Michael P. Keaton, or what the hell was his name?
Alex P. Keaton.
Alex P. Keaton.
That's right.
Because his name is Michael J. Fox. And I think it was on an episode and it took off. Is that right?
According to Wikipedia, yes, you are correct.
Okay.
Yeah. Nobody knew who the hell Billy Vera and the Beaters were. And then it was on an episode. I don't know what the episode was about because I never watched Family Ties. But it had something to do with, I believe, Justine Bateman's character was like dated a guy and they were at a dance or something and Billy Vera was playing and
Close. According to this, it was Alex P. Keaton and his girlfriend Ellen Reed. played by Tracy Pollan, who would eventually become his wife in real life.
Yeah.
And they danced to it at a dance.
Okay. I knew it was something like that. But that song, my God, people. Is 1986, 85, something like that? Oh, man. You couldn't get away from it.
It was huge.
It was ridiculous.
And I would love to find out where, because the popular version of it was a live version. I wonder where it was recorded, what the situation was.
Yeah, because that was a live version. That's the that version that it was playing. It was live.
Right.
Wiki says at the Roxy in West Hollywood.
Okay.
And I think, if I'm not mistaken, Gary David Goldface, or whatever his name is, the guy who created Family Ties, was a fan of Billy Vera's or something, and put him in the show. I can't remember the dude who created the show, but
David Goldberg.
Oh, I was close. Jeez. Maybe I know more about Family Ties than I thought. I also remember Tom Hanks drinking vanilla extract. Do you guys remember that episode?
Didn't we talk about it?
Yeah.
I think we talked about it.
Yeah. You remember that episode, Vic? Tom Hanks played his alcoholic, Michael Keaton. I keep calling him Michael Keaton. Alex, his uncle, and he was a drunk. And
no,
there was no liquor in the house, so he went and drank vanilla extract.
There is, that's right. There is alcohol in that.
Yeah.
No, I didn't know. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
They use alcohol in all of those. What do you call it?
Extracts.
The extracts, yeah. It's got some.
Yeah, so he's like, he was all desperate, and he was drinking vanilla extract, and I think Alex had like a breakdown and started crying or something.
I don't remember that.
You don't think your Uncle Ned has it anymore, huh? You're ashamed of your Uncle Ned. You think I might give you the wrong answers. Let me tell you something. I spoke in front of the World Bank. So why don't you just come down from this high horse and ask your Uncle Ned for some help, huh? What's the matter? Don't you like your Uncle Ned anymore?
I like him. I like him a lot.
And yet you're too good to sit down and have a glass of maraschino cherries with him, huh? Is that it? Come on.
I've just never seen you drunk before.
You think I'm drunk? You think I am drunk? Let me tell you something, buddy. I'm drunk.
I think he punches him. If I'm not mistaken, I think Tom Hanks punches Michael Keaton. Michael J. Fox. He punches Marty McFly in the face, if I'm not mistaken. Like, he attacks him and they kick him out of the house or something. But I remember that was one of those very special episodes of Family Ties. Here's a really ironic thing. Are you ready for this, guys? This is a true story. On my 1 year anniversary of being sober, I turned on the TV and that episode of Family Ties was on. I am not kidding you.
It's a sign.
I am not kidding you. It was like my 1 year anniversary of sobriety. I turn on the TV, there's Tom Hanks. I'm like, what's going on, man? All right. Bad road trips. If you're going on a road trip with Uncle Ned, keep the vanilla extract out of the picnic basket. That's all I'm saying. I forgot his name was Ned. Uncle Ned. All right. We're talking about bad vacations, and here's Dave on WGN. Hey, Dave.
Hey, how you doing, Sprint?
All right, buddy.
Hey, coming back from Door County, one of the last trips we took with our big 26-foot travel trailer. The hub blew out on one of the tires, had to take it off and chain up the axle and limp home back to Crystal Lake, Illinois.
Oh.
Oh. Three kids and the wife.
Oh, man.
And it added about 2 hours to our road trip.
That's terrible.
Because we're on the expressway barely doing the minimum speed limit. You know, and my kids are getting restless, I'm as frustrated as all get out.
I can't imagine that. I can't even imagine that. That's horrible.
Yeah, well, it was on a Sunday. There were no repair shops open, so you just had to keep going. Luckily, I'm a truck driver and I carry extra equipment, you know, be extra cautious and
right.
had a chain where I could chain up that axle and get it home.
Oh, that's crazy. Did you get the car repaired?
Well, it was the travel trailer.
Travel trailer.
You know.
Oh, the trailer, yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah. That was about $800.
Oh, my God. That's great. Jeez. All right, Dave, thanks.
Yep, bye-bye.
That's a nightmare. We got some vacation horror stories here. If you guys want to jump in, 312-981-7200. Here we go. I went to backpack Europe, and the first stop was visiting my girlfriend in Greece who was studying abroad. The day after I left for Munich, I joined the class on an archaeology dig. At the dig site, I dislocated my knee. I had to slide down the mountain on my butt, and then I was stuck in bed for 90% of the rest of the trip. That sucks. You know, that's terrible right there. If you know, you're going on a vacation, you're really looking forward to it, and then like you get sick or have an accident. That's terrible.
That happened to birthday boy Steve King.
Yeah.
They were in London, fell off the back step of a double decker, I believe, and spent 2 weeks in the hospital.
Yeah.
If my memory serves correct.
2 weeks in the hospital. Steve King. By the way, happy birthday to Steve King. He's 40 today. yeah, no, I remember that. You know why I remember that vividly? One, because, you know, Steve and Johnny are friends of mine, and two, I filled in while they were out. And, it was scary. That's terrible, though. And was it early in their trip, too?
I want to say it was.
Oh, wait a minute. You want to know another nightmare story about somebody here at WGN vacation?
Who's that?
Spike Odell. Spike Odell, Esmeralda, are you aware of the Spike Odell nightmare trip?
I'm not.
Spike Odell was on a cruise. I want to say in Alaska, if I'm not mistaken. It was Alaska. Spike was on a cruise in Alaska, could not be contacted because this was pre-intranets and cell phones and any of that stuff. He was on the boat. He was on the ship. And while he was, and this was probably about a week into the trip, I think it was a two-week trip, but a week into the trip, he's unavailable for any contact. House burns down while he's away. House burns down. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And nobody could get a hold of him. Here you are. You're on this great trip. You're in Alaska. You're having a great time. You come back, house gone. And on top of that, here's another, that's horrible, absolutely horrible. And Spike handled it he's Spike Odell, he's the man, he's the king. But listen to this, Esmeralda. I don't know if you're aware how big a Beatles fan Spike is. Are you aware of how big a Beatles fan Spike is?
No.
He makes you and I look like fans of New Kids on the Block compared to his love for the Beatles. Like, he is absolutely insane for the Beatles. And had tons of collectibles. And, like, I think he had one of Sir Paul's basses that he bought. He had, like, gold records. He had tons of Beatles stuff. Almost all of it was perished in the fire.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. That's a nightmare vacation story right there. Hey, how was your vacation? It was great. Well, your house burnt down while you were gone. Nobody could get a hold of them, and they were reporting it. The weird thing was, Dan, if you remember, they were reporting the news story on this station, and Spike didn't know. Like, they were talking about Spike Odell's house burning down, and Spike didn't know.
I remember when they finally did get a hold of him, they offered to send a helicopter
yes.
to the ship to pick him and his wife up, and yeah. I believe he just said, there's no point.
Yeah.
A couple more days.
Yeah. Horrible. That is a tire falling off of a truck is one thing, you know, but what happened to Steve King and what happened here at home while Spike was away, that's terrible, man. So, let's see. Here's another vacation horror story. Esmeralda, you ready for this one? This is from the somenews.com.
Mm-hmm.
My parents got into a huge fight and decided they wanted a divorce on the second day of a week-long Disney World trip. It was the most awful week of my life. Isn't that supposed to be the happiest place on earth, Esmeralda? Didn't you say that yesterday as one of the clues?
Yeah, I thought so.
Like, unless your parents decide they're going to get a divorce. That's terrible. All right, 312-981-7200. We got a break here. We got weather, we got traffic, and then more nightmare vacation stories. We'd love to hear from you. 312-981-7200. Wild Card Wednesday continues. Yeah, man, Wild Card Wednesday, yeah. Hannah requesting O and S. We do what we want to. I don't know O and S. I know them as letters of the alphabet, but I'm not familiar with the music of O and S. Wild Card Wednesday continuing, 312-981-7200. If you want to get your requests in, any artist, any song, anything. Coming up at 4:30, after the news, Esmeralda and I will again lock horns in a mystic battle of pop-up video. Dave Ennett's getting his cats ready with his psychic army. And Skip Skipley is coming in on the jet. So, all right, welcome back, everybody. We're talking about vacation horror stories and road trips gone awry. We would love to hear from you, 312-981-7200. And let's see, here's another one. I was in Georgia with my family visiting my sister. I'm legally blind and have contacts. I forgot my contact case and solution. So for the night, I decided to put my contacts in water cups by the bedside table. On the first night we were there, my mom woke up and threw them down the sink because she thought it was just cups of water. The rest of the vacation was only vague shapes. Oh, no. That's terrible. You know that you guys both don't wear glasses or contacts, right, Dan? No?
Nope.
Esmeralda, no, right?
No.
All right. I never had, well, I have to wear reading glasses now because I'm old, so I got to wear cheaters. But I dated, you know, I've dated a lot of girls who, women who wore glasses or, and or contacts. And, you know, now you get the disposable ones, right? I mean, they're like, you can just throw them out. You wear them, what do you wear them once and just throw them out? Or how many times you wear them?
They do have daily disposables, yeah.
Yeah. So, but years ago, I dated a woman who was much too old for me and was my manager at McDonald's and had a child. and I should not have been dating her, but I was. She wore contacts, but these were the hard ones, the permanent ones, the ones that you had. And this was a habit that she had. Like if a contact lens popped out or something, she lost a contact lens, she would take it and put it in her mouth and then put it back in her eye. And I was like, you know, at first I was like, what the hell is that? And then I knew, I know other people who did that. You ever, years ago when they had like the hard contacts, did you ever see anybody actually like when they pop out, stick it in their mouth and then put it back in their eye? To like moisten it, I guess?
I did not, thankfully. That would freak me out.
That would freak me out when I first saw, I mean, she did. I mean, the first time she did it, I was like, what are you doing? But evidently that's something that people did. Like it was a common thing that people who wore the hard contacts did. Esmeralda, have you ever seen that?
No, that's gross.
Yeah.
Did you hear about that woman? It was maybe a week ago or so.
Oh, and she had a bunch
they
of contacts?
Took out, yeah, 27 contacts.
Is that
oh,
insane?
My God.
How is that? How? That's insane.
It freaks me out. That kind of. I couldn't wear contacts if I had to.
I'm the same
sticking
way.
Sticking my finger up yep. in my eyeball every day.
No, I'm the same way. I'm absolutely the same way. You know, Esmeralda, as you know, I happen to kind of like horror movies.
Right.
Just a little.
Yeah. And I think I heard you talk about that once.
And I've seen a few of them. So, and, you know, I can handle as much blood and guts and people getting their heads cut off and limbs flying all over the place, people getting smashed up, people getting eaten. But if they do like eye violence, I have it's the worst. Like when it's a horror movie and there's violence involving the eye or people sticking people's fingers in their eyes and stuff. No.
I get very Final Destination when I think about things. So the idea of me sticking my finger in my eyeball, I would think things could go very badly, very quickly.
Yeah. But it's funny because some people, whatever, man. Just hold the lids open, pop your finger in there, and you're fine. It's weird. It's weird. There's this movie called Dead and Buried, which is one of my favorite horror movies of the 80s, directed by Chicago's own Gary Sherman, who has been on the show and a friend. There's a scene where there's a guy who is the beginning of the movie, they set this guy on fire. it's a lovely family movie. They set this dude on fire, and he's in the hospital. He didn't kill him. So he's completely covered in bandages from head to toe, except for his eye. He's got one eye. So it just picture like a mummy, Esmeralda, but completely covered, but one eye. That's all that's sticking out is one eye. Okay? Covered head to toe in bandages, wrapped in bandages, feet up in traction. He's laying in the hospital bed with the monitor, heart monitors on him, and just the one eye is exposed. Everything else is white gauze. Nurse comes in, long hypodermic needle, right in the eye. And
why?
I remember the first time I saw that movie, because they do a real, like, it's like, you know, they show the needle getting closer to the eye and everything, and I'm like, no, and then yeah, and that kills him. The nurse injects him through the eye, and it kills him. But that I remember, that's one scene in all the horror movies I've ever seen, and I've seen a ton of movies. That scene, every time I watch Dead and Buried, I got to turn away every time because of that scene. By the way, Nancy Blount from An Officer and a Gentleman is the woman who throws the hypodermic needle into the guy's eye. There's a little trivia in case you're at a party. Somebody wants to know about Nancy Blount. You can.
All the time.
Finally.
more information about Nancy Blount on the way, but we have to take a break. go to the news is next. When I realized the reality gave me a role. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower, here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich at 5 with the opening bell. The great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. Wildcard Wednesday, yeah! Gunner requested Sanford Townsend, Smoke from a Distant Fire. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Coming up after 4:30, Skip Skipley will be here, and we will have another round of pop-up video. Get the cats ready, because Esmeralda will sing. And you never know what the cats are going to do. Some may commit suicide. So we're talking about nightmare vacations and vacation horror stories. We would love to hear from you at 312-981-7200. Got a couple people on the line. Aaron is here. Aaron, how's it going, Aaron?
Oh, good. How about you guys?
All right.
This actually isn't my story, because my story is not radio friendly.
All right.
But this is my folks, and we live small town close to Wisconsin Dells.
Mm-hmm.
My brother's graduating basic training in Fort Sill, Oklahoma, 18 hours away.
All right.
My dad's appendix bursts.
Oh, no.
So that's horror number one. And it's not just regular appendicitis. It's a full-on opened up. Well, there's no way my mother is driving a 30-foot RV from the middle of Oklahoma to Wisconsin.
Right.
So they get her entire family, her younger brother and mom and dad, into a little Dodge Shadow thing to drive 18 hours to pick them up so that my granddad can drive the RV back.
Well, now they brought your dad to a hospital, a nearby hospital, correct?
Yeah.
This
is after everything. This is like a week and a half.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But it's so. Yeah, dad was okay.
Oh well, I'm glad he's all right. That was great.
But then about halfway back, the caravan got split up. So they drive the rest, like halfway, hoping to God that they all make it back.
Yeah.
Because this is like 89, so there's no GPSs or anything.
Right. Wow.
We're relying on paper maps.
Yeah. Well, they made it back, though.
Yeah, it all turned out okay in the end.
All right. All right, Aaron, thanks.
Yep.
All right. Aaron, everybody. Here's Tim on WGN. Hey, Tim.
Hey, good morning, Nick. How are you?
All right.
First of all, I love the Wild Card Wednesday. There's so much music that gets played that I've never, ever heard of in my entire life.
Yeah, I think that's – I know that's the case every single week with me as well, Tim.
And you know so much music and movie, I'm surprised that they even stun you from time to time.
Oh, every week or something, I'm like, what is that? So.
But anyway, yeah, there was a vacation that my family took. It was this has had to be in the mid-'80s or so. We went down to the same campground every year. It was called Tall Oaks, and it was on the Tippecanoe River in Indiana. And I was a swimmer my whole life, and I was very prone to ear infections. And this was one of the summers that I actually got an ear infection, which blossomed into, I think, one ear was an outer and a middle ear infection, and then the other one was an inner ear infection.
Oh, no.
So I was in bad shape, but this is, you know, sort of the whole swim team would go down to this camping trip, and it was a tradition. It was good fun, and we'd do a lot of different fun things. And so my parents decided, we're going to go anyway, my sister and my mom and my dad. The cat that we had at the time, named Fluffy, of course, he got sick as well before this trip. So we couldn't leave the cat with anybody, so we had to give the cat medication. So the cat came along with us in the tent and so forth, and he'll come into play in just a little while. So on this camping trip, we also go on these tubing trips. So you get these inner tubes, and on the campground, they take you up the river. You float down on the river. It was fun. And there's a fair amount of consumption of various beverages of the alcoholic variety. Among the parents.
Yeah.
You know, your Schlitzes and your Old Styles and all the old school beers from way back when.
Yep.
And so my dad had consumed a number of these beverages, and he was trying to, you know, goof around on the tube. And, he wears glasses, and he sort of flipped off the tube, and his glasses went down to the bottom of the river, and he couldn't find them.
Oh,
and
man.
Are really bad. So we finished this particular tube run. We get back, and so my dad can't see anything. And we're going to be leaving in like a day or so. And it so happened that one of the women on the trip had a pair of glasses that she lent to my dad. So my dad's walking around with these female glasses on his face. You know, they got the arms on the bottom of the lenses, and they sort of swoop up around your ears.
Yeah, sure.
This is my dad, so he's doing this, and in the meantime, you know, there's a couple of occasions I'm screaming and hollering in pain in the tent because my ears hurt so much. You know, I can't take it. My mom's going up to the front trying to get more medication from the doctor and can't get a hold of him because, again, this is pre-cell phones and everything. So anyway, we get to Sunday finally. Everybody, you know, we're doing okay. We're packing up. All the tents are getting folded up and put back in the cars, and suddenly the cat has disappeared. So there's, you know, 30 of us on this camping trip or so, and everybody is looking for Fluffy. Nobody can find Fluffy. And just as we're about to give up, we're like, well, I guess we lost the cat. You know, it's unfortunate. My sister and I were so upset.
Yeah.
And crying, and I'm already in pain. And one of the kids on the trip said, you know, I heard that cats sometimes crawl underneath the hood of a car because it's warm there, and maybe he was cold. And he got out of the tent. So sure enough, we go look around. We're opening hoods of cars. And sure enough, the cat actually climbed underneath one of the cars onto the engine. So this cat would have been roasted if we would have fired up the car and started heading back to Illinois. So you have me with the ear infection.
Wow.
Dad with women's glasses on. And the cat that's sick and found underneath the hood of the car.
That's insane, man. That's insane.
Yeah, it was one of those craziest. You can't write that stuff.
No, you can't. Exactly. Wow, that's crazy. Tim, thanks for sharing.
All right, thanks.
Take care, buddy. That's great. Oh my God, Esmeralda, please. What if they would have started the car?
No. Let's not think about that.
No. Maybe the cat heard you singing, wanted to get away, to get under the.
I would think my singing would get the cat out of the car.
Out of the car, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what, yeah. So later on, when you sing, if anybody is worried about their cat being under the hood of a car, I think that problem might be solved.
Right. Or raccoons.
Right.
Or squirrels.
Any sort of rodent.
Any kind of animal hides in cars.
That's right.
Snakes, maybe.
Snakes. All right, we got to take a break. We got the weather and the traffic. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Wild Card Wednesday, yeah! 773 area code to the Chambers Brothers. I can't turn you loose. 312-981-7200. Getting a word that the jet is on the way, and Skip Skipley could be here very soon, and we will have another edition of pop-up video. We got some texts that are coming in. We're talking about nightmare vacations. 847 area code says, on my eighth grade trip in 1978 to Washington, D.C., I got appendicitis and had to have emergency surgery in Virginia. My mom had to fly out and stayed with me at the hospital. It's terrible. Harold says, I was in Mexico City with my girlfriend. She suggested we go into downtown Mexico City to find some souvenirs. As we were walking back to the bus stop, a man approaches and starts talking to us in Spanish. He then turns to rub a napkin on my back. My girlfriend translates that he says he's wiping something off my back. Turned out to be he was rubbing mustard on my back, hoping I'd drop my camera bag so he could steal it. I didn't, and he gave up. But whatever he rubbed was potent, and it smelled and tasted like mustard for days, and I now hate mustard. That's just too bad. You can't hate mustard. It's a lovely condiment. Patrick says, so I guess the splinter scene in Lucio Fulci's Zombie totally messed you up. I know it messed with me. Yeah, that's another fantastic scene that you might want to avoid, Esmeralda.
I'll make a note of it.
Lucio Fulci's movie Zombie, which is a tremendous movie. It has a scene where a woman is inside a room and they've, you know, as in most zombie movies, they've pounded, you know, 2x4 and wood across the doors to keep the zombies out. A zombie punches his way through the door, grabs the girl by the back of her head, and slowly pushes her head and pushes her eye onto a jagged piece of wood that's sticking out. And it goes on for about 45 seconds.
Cool.
Yeah. It's fantastic. All right. We got some more stories here. My brother had just turned one when we went to Disney World. Boy, Disney World's not a happy place for many of the stories this morning. For the first time, and I was 10, my brother was one, I was sitting on the plane beside my mom, and my brother started screaming. We thought it was because his ears were popping, but it turned out that he had the worst diarrhea ever. It was everywhere, on the seat, on my mom, on my brother. The flight attendant brought us club soda to, quote, fix the problem, and a garbage bag and paper towels. They wouldn't let my mom get up because the seatbelt light wasn't off yet. She made holes in the garbage bag and tied it to his waist, sat him on her lap, and waited. It was the worst flight ever, but it was completely laughable now. That is unbelievable. How about this one? 1/4 of July weekend, we got stuck in standstill traffic, and my youngest brother, who was 6 at the time, kept complaining that he had to pee. We couldn't pull over, so my dad gave him a Gatorade bottle to pee into. My brother started peeing in the bottle just as traffic started moving a little bit. The sudden movement of the car jolted my brother from where he was standing in a minivan, and he dropped the bottle but didn't stop peeing. He literally peed all over the side of my dad's head and the steering wheel. Hey, good morning, everybody. Hope you're going to enjoy your breakfast. In Tuscany, my dad thought it would be a great idea to wear his 20-year-old Speedo at the hotel pool. He also thought it would be a great idea to jump off the diving board to impress his 6-year-old and 9-year-old daughters. Luckily, I turned away just in time to avoid seeing my father's package and his Speedo slipped off his body as he dived into the pool. Fortunately, my older sister and mother were too slow to notice what was coming for them. We all laugh about it at family dinners now. All right. How about this one? We left for our trip before dawn. After about a 6-hour car journey, we arrived at Devon campsite. My mom and dad cracked open a beer each to celebrate being so organized. They got the tent out and then started looking for the poles. I thought you packed them conversation happened. Luckily, we had a small tent, which my mom and brothers were able to stay at the night while my dad and I made a 460-mile round trip to get the poles. 460 miles. Jeez.
I would have just looked for a Walmart or some sort of place to just buy new. I'd just buy a new tent. I'd be like, I'd suck it up.
Yeah, get a new tent.
It's a long time to go.
That's crazy.
Tent poles.
How about this? We were on a trip in Australia. There was a dead kangaroo in the road. Because of a driver who was going way too fast, we were forced to hit it. Then there was blood and guts all over our car. We pulled over to the next town, and all of the dogs in the neighborhood came over and started to eat the meat off of our car. Esmeralda would have just, if she ran a restaurant, would have just brought the thing into the kitchen.
Right.
Started butchering.
Right. Just shoo away those dogs.
Yeah. I once left $2,000 in a hotel room while traveling across the country. I realized it when I gassed up 400 miles later. $2,000, jeez. All right, what else do we got here? Two and a half years ago, I was on a nonstop red eye from LAX to Heathrow. 15 minutes before the plane is to depart, the pilot comes on the intercom to tell us that something had happened to the flight plan and they needed time to reroute. So we'd be leaving about a half an hour late. I popped a sleeping pill to pass out. When I awoke, I found out that something was the volcano in Iceland going off and I completely slept through it and now we had to go to Paris. Can I just say, Esmeralda, when my ex-wife and I went to Ireland, it was during that Iceland volcano thing. So when we left, it was not erupting when we left to go to Dublin.
Mm-hmm.
But while we were in Ireland, like the day before we were going to leave to come back to the States, it erupted again.
So how'd you get back?
We did. Well, eventually the next day it didn't, and they said it was safe. But for a full day and a half, we were in Ireland, looking at the news and checking things out to see, because they were canceling planes. The Dublin airport was saying no flights are going out. Then the next day they said yes, and then we could go. Now I'm terrified to fly, so even though it was like a day after, I'm in the plane going, we're going to die, we're going to get sucked into a volcano, and Bjork is going to kill us. So. All right, we got a break for the news, and then Skip Skipley has arrived. We'll talk to him up as a pop-up video, too.